If you would turn in your Bibles to John, Gospel, according to John. We'll be looking this morning at John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. You can find that on page 1760 if you're using one of the gray chair Bibles. Page 1760, we'll be looking this morning at John chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. And last week, as we know, you who are here, we did begin our exposition of the Gospel of John together. And we saw that really, in essence, John's Gospel, perhaps more than any other book in the Bible, focuses on the doctrine of the Trinity, the fact that there is one God who dwells in three distinct essences, three distinct persons, one God, one essence, three distinct persons, focuses on the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ as the mediator, and it focuses on the fact that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And we saw that God tells us that this is exactly why He gave us this particular gospel, to work in us, to bring us to accept and believe the truths concerning these three major things: the Trinity, the person and work of Christ, and salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And that the preaching and teaching of this book in particular would bring God's people, would bring sinners to believe these things, and in so believing in these things and in Jesus Christ, to have life in Him. And in particular, last week, when we looked at chapter 1, verse 1, we saw that our Lord Jesus Christ is eternal, that He is distinct from and yet united with God the Father, and that He Himself is God. And so from that, the central truth that John 1:1 teaches and that we saw is that Jesus Christ is fully God with the Father. And now this morning we'll look at verses 2 and 3, where we'll see that Jesus Christ is not only fully God with the Father, but that He is also the uncreated Creator of all things with the Father. And so our main truth again this morning is rather simple. Again, Jesus Christ is the uncreated Creator of all things with the Father. Jesus Christ is the uncreated Creator of all things with the Father. So let's hear this from God's Word now in the reading of it from John 1:1 through 1:5. This is the living and active Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Since the reading of God's Word, may He be pleased to bless it, and especially the preaching of it this morning. As we can see, verse 2 is in essence simply a concise restatement of verse 1, of everything that was said in verse 1. Notice the he, that is, the he, the word who was just said to be God, he was in the beginning with God. And so we see the word, we see the beginning, which was in the beginning of verse 1, and we see a restatement that he was with God, just as was said in the middle of verse 1. And so we have all of the truths restated. In verse 2, we have restated and confirmed once again the truth that Jesus Christ is fully God with the Father. But with this, we should always remember that God never wastes his breath, which is to say, he doesn't repeat something if there's no reason to repeat it. He never wastes his breath. The Puritan John Arrowsmith, commenting on this specific repetition, speaks about why God repeats himself in his word. He says this: repetitions have diverse uses in Scripture. In prayer, they argue affection. In prophecy, they note celerity, that is, swiftness and certainty. In threatenings, they note unavoidableness and suddenness. In precepts, which is to say, in commands, they note necessity of performance. And in truths like that before us, they serve to show the necessity of believing and of knowing them. And so, beloved, verse 2 reinforces what was preached to you last week, which is that it is absolutely necessary for you to believe that Jesus Christ is fully God with the Father. So not that he's some lesser God, not that Jesus Christ is God the Father, not that he's some mere man or some mere good teacher, but that he is fully God, distinct from God the Father. You must believe that, and that's what God is telling you by repeating that. And that your eternal destiny, as we saw, is absolutely dependent upon whether you accept and receive that truth, that Jesus Christ is fully God with the Father. That's why the Spirit repeated himself in verse 2. But after restating that point for emphasis, verse 3 goes on to expand, to give us expanded and developed teaching on our Lord Jesus Christ. It said further that all things were made through him. All things. So not some things, not most things, not even almost all things, but all things. All things were made through him. And we noted last time, you may remember, that the tense of the verbs, the verb tense, changes from verses 1 and 2 to verse 3. You remember in verses 1 and 2, we have that little verb was. And that little verb we saw is in the imperfect tense, which signifies and indicates continuous, timeless existence. Eternality is indicated by that little word was. And we noted last time, and now we see expressly this time, that the verb tenses change. It goes from was to were made. And as we saw last time, it's the aorist tense in the Greek. And so the transition is one from speaking about continuous, timeless existence to creation, temporally, in time and with time. So children, you can think about it like this. The existence of Jesus Christ in verses 1 and 2 is kind of pictured like a movie that has no beginning or no end. It's more like a video, a continuous running motion video. A video with no beginning, no end. And then creation is then pictured by the verb tenses more like a picture. It's an act with time and bringing time into existence. So you can think about the difference between a video and a picture, and that will give you a small idea of the difference between Christ's eternal existence and his act of creation in time, you see. And so here we're being taught again that the Word was. The Word was, and all things were made. There's an absolute black and white contrast between the Word and creation. The Word is uncreated. All things were created. So we see the uncreated Word, and we see all created things. The verse 3 goes on to not only contrast the Word and creation, but to teach us about the relationship between the Word and creation. So they're not only contrasted, but related. You see, it said that all things were made through Him. Through Him. And so the relationship between the uncreated Word and all created things is one of uncreated Creator to created creation. It's Creator-creature relationship. But this little word through here, just like the little word was from last week, is a rather important theological word. It's a preposition which in context here combined with the personal him indicates intermediate agency. Think about you send a letter through the post office and it's delivered by the mailman. Okay, in that the post office is the intermediate agency. Okay, you are the source of the letter, you send through the post office, and that's delivered by. So from Joe, through the post office, by Bob, the mailman. From, through, by. Through signifies intermediate agency. And the point is that this preposition, through, just like the names and the titles given to each person, teaches us something about who our God is, you see. For in Scripture, typically, God's works in relation to creation. So again, as we talked about last week in Sunday school, and some of you have been learning and studying about recently, as far as the economic trinity goes, right? God in relation to creation and His works. Typically, things are said to be from the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. For you who are studying Greek, it'll be ek, dia, through, or ek, dia, in, which is from, through, by. From, through, by. From the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. And so the person of the Father to him is usually, as far as the works of God are concerned, he's usually seen to be the source or the ultimate agency, the one from whom are all things. And the Son is typically seen to be the intermediate agent. All things are from the Father through the Son. And the Spirit, again as to works, is typically seen to be the agent of means. From the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. So while every work of the triune God certainly involves all three persons, as we'll see later, nevertheless, the Scriptures teach us that there is an order of the works. Again, from the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. And you may remember Ephesians 2:18, we see that our prayers follow that order, except in reverse. Our prayers follow that order, but in reverse. Ephesians 2:18, for through Him, okay, that's Christ, the mediator, the intermediate agent, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So by the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father. It simply reverses the order. Creation and salvation are from the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. And we return our gratitude in prayer by the Spirit, through the Son, to the Father. From, through, and by. And so these words, again, they reveal to us an order of God's workings. They don't reveal to us any subordination of the persons, simply an order, okay? Not of rank, not of persons, as to rank, but simply in their works and relationships. Again, all things created from the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. And so again, just as with the titles and the names we saw last week, we saw that there's an order revealed. Remember, we looked at the Word and we asked, why is He called the Word? Why is Christ called the Word? And we saw it's because He perfectly reflects and reveals, represents and reveals the Father's wisdom and will, just like a word represents and reveals a thought. And so the Father is presented in Scripture as the Lord who speaks. And He speaks through His Word. He speaks by His Spirit, you remember, His breath. There is the Lord, His Word, and His breath. Father, Son, and Spirit. And so again, as with the names and the titles of the persons of the Trinity, so with the prepositions. They teach us something. Again, I just want you to see how deep the Scriptures are. Even these little words, God is teaching you something about Himself. He's teaching you something about Himself. So with the divine names and titles of the persons, so with the prepositions ascribed to each, we're taught that even though our God is one God, and even though there is true unity in the Godhead, there is also true and distinct diversity in the Godhead. There are three distinct persons in the Godhead. And though they are absolutely co-equal in power and glory, co-equally God, there is again, nevertheless, an order in their eternal relationships which is revealed in their temporal works. okay, an order in the eternal relationships, which is revealed necessarily in the temporal works of creation and providence. Okay, eternally, Father, Son, and Spirit. Eternally, Father, Son, and Spirit. Temporally, from, through, and by. The order of the eternal relationships ground, form the ontological foundation, that is the being, the foundation of being grounds the temporal works, you see. And the order of the temporal works reflect the order of the eternal relationships. The order of the temporal works reflect the order of the eternal relationships. And so through those prepositions, from Father, through Son, by Spirit, again you're being taught about who God is in His being. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In that order, the Father begets the Son from all eternity, and the Father and the Son together spirate the Spirit. Send forth, breathe forth the Holy Spirit. And that you're being taught and confirmed, again, not only by the names, but by the order of the works revealed in the prepositions from, through, and by. And so in verses 2 and 3, in the beginning of verse 3, again, we're taught that the Word, God the Son, is with God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth. God the Father made all things through God the Son. He spoke, the Father spoke all things into existence through the Word. So Jesus Christ is fully God with the Father, and He's also the uncreated creator of all things with the Father. And then in the second half of verse 3, we again see an instance of God repeating Himself for the sake of emphasis, emphasizing our need to accept and believe that He is the uncreated creator of all things. Notice, all things were made through Him. Again, which means all. And in order to drive that home, it's added, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. So through Him, all things were made, and without Him, which is to say, apart from His intermediate agency, nothing was made. And just like all things means all things, so nothing means no thing. And it's even more emphatic in the Greek. It's not a single thing. The word one is there. Not one thing. Not even one. Not even the tiniest thing was made apart from Him. So every single created thing was created through Him, and not a single created thing was created apart from Him. And so in verses 2 and 3, we've seen that just as Jesus Christ is fully God with the Father, so Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things with the Father. Verses 2 and 3 of the Gospel of John teach clearly that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things. But it's not just John 1, 2, and 3 that teach that. Psalm 33, 6, as we quoted last week, as we sung last week, as we sang again this morning, teaches the same thing. Again, by, and that Hebrew word could be translated through the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. So again, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and he did so through his word, by his breath. And remember, that word breath is the same Hebrew word for spirit. The Lord made the heavens through his word, by his spirit. So just like the New Testament teaches, the Father made all things through his Son by the Spirit. From the Lord, through the Son, by the Spirit. Old Testament and New Testament, you see. Psalm 33:6 confirms that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things. Colossians 1:15 through 17. He, that is Christ, the Son, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by, and again it's that Greek word dia, through, so through him, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. So there we're just taught, again, that the Son, as the Word, is the image of God the Father. And that because he is the eternally begotten, he is the firstborn. That's a word of preeminence. Because he's the eternally born, he is therefore over all non-eternal things. He's over all creation. And it was through him. So the Father, through him, that all things were made. Heaven and earth, visible and invisible. Doesn't matter which category of creation you choose, it all came from the Father through the Son by the Spirit. And so again, we're taught by the Scriptures that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things with the Father. And then lastly, Hebrews 1:1-2. God, and in context we'll see here that's the Father, God the Father, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. That's how we know God the Father is in view, because God spoke by his Son. The Father spoke by his Son, whom he, that is the Father, has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he, that is the Father, made the worlds. Again, the Father speaks through his Son. He speaks through his Word. And he made all things, all worlds, through his Son. So once again, we see that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things with the Father. There's not only express teaching in God's Word that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things with the Father, but there's also implicit teaching. And it's lined out for you in a logical argument in your sheet, even though that's not exactly how I'm going to present it here. But there's further scriptural reason by good and necessary consequence to believe our main point. And it's this, the further teaching of Scripture, which teaches us that the operations or works, okay, those, the external works, creation and providence, the works of the Trinity, of the three persons of the Godhead, are inseparable. Which means you cannot separate any one person's work from another person's work. Okay, so even though a particular work of creation or redemption may have been, and certainly was, eternally appropriated by one of the persons in such a way that corresponds to their relation of origin. Nevertheless, the external works can't be separated. Let me say that again one more time here. Okay? There is an order in the Godhead. Not a subordination, but an order. The Father begets the Son. The Father and the Son breathe forth the Spirit. Okay? Now, in the eternal decree, in the eternal counsels, when God is purposing how He's going to create and how He's going to save, let's just say it this way, because it's most obvious. The Son's the middle person. Father begets the Son, and then the Father and the Son spirate the Spirit. There's a reason that He took on the role of mediation between God and man, that He took on the role of being sent by the Father. Okay, the Son couldn't have sent the Father. That's not how it works. Because the Father begets the Son, the Father sends the Son. And because the Father and the Son spirate the Spirit, that's why they send the Spirit. That's why Christ first came, and then only afterwards was the Spirit poured out at Pentecost. Everything that God does reflects who He is. See? So in the eternal counsels, the Father took on the work of electing and sending. Christ took on the work of saving and being sent. The Spirit took to Himself the work of being sent by the Father and the Son and applying that redemption. But again, the point is that because God is one, you can't separate any of these things. You can't separate the Son's work from the Father and the Spirit. Distinguished, but not separated. Okay? And this teaching is grounded in such passages as Deuteronomy 6:4. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, there's only one God. And yet in this one God, there are distinct, fully divine persons. Jesus Christ, John 10:30 again, I and my Father are one. Okay? The Son and the Father are not the same person. Distinct and yet united. They, along with the Spirit, are united in their intellect, their affection, and their will, because they're one. Okay, they think one thing. They love as one. They purpose as one. And not merely just because they're in agreement. Okay, the Father, Son, and Spirit don't have three wills and they simply get along really well. And so they agree. They literally have one will, one love, one mind. And therefore everything they do is united, cannot be separated. And this is further confirmed, John 5:19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He sees the Father do. For whatever He does, the Son also does in like manner. So there Christ teaches us that the Son can do nothing apart from the Father. But as we've just seen from the other passages, and as we just saw taught in John 1:3, which is that without the Son, apart from the Son, nothing was done. Therefore, the converse of John 5:19 is true. Okay, so the Son can do nothing apart from the Father. But therefore also the Father can do nothing apart from the Son. And neither the Father nor the Son can do anything apart from the Spirit. You see. And so, because the external works, again, creation, providence, salvation, since the external works of the Trinity cannot be separated, then if the Father is the maker of heaven and earth, which He is, as the Scriptures everywhere teach, and as we confess biblically in the Apostles' Creed, then it must necessarily be the case that the Son is also the maker with the Father of heaven and earth. Okay? And you'll see that reflected in a slightly different way in your sheets. Okay? Premise one, you see, God the Father, He's God, He made everything. Scriptures teach that Jesus Christ is fully God with the Father. As we just saw, the Scriptures teach that the external works of the Trinity cannot be separated. And therefore it follows that not only the Father, but the Son is also the creator of all things. It follows that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things with the Father. And I want us to apply this now. And first, to you, beloved, I want us to use this teaching this morning that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things, which is what our passage teaches, as we've seen, to stir you to and move you to humility, gratitude, and service. Humility, gratitude, and service. First, as far as humility goes. If Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things with the Father, that means that you are a created thing. You are a creature. You are of the dust. Utterly dependent. No inherent strength and ability and power. You're finite. Time bound, unchangeable in all that you are. You depend on God to live, move, and have your being. And that reality that we probably don't just stop and reflect and meditate on enough should humble us every time that we do. That we are mere creatures. And that idea that you are simply a creature, you're one of the all things that is not God and is therefore creature, has very practical implications. For instance, you need sleep. We often act like we don't, and men especially. We think we're machines. We think we're as God. And again, that's another way by our works that we deny Him if we fail to acknowledge that we're creatures who need to sleep. It means you need rest. So not just sleep, literal sleep, you need rest. You need rest from the world and from your work. Which means you need to actually rest from the world and from your work on the Sabbath day. It means you probably need to take other rest. Daily, time away from work. Vacations. Or staycations. You need to rest. And to not rest, to tell yourself a lie that you don't need rest from the world and your work, is to deny that you're a creature. It's to have pride. You need relationships and friends. You cannot survive in isolation. You certainly can't thrive. And so to act like you can do this Christian life on your own, or to act like you don't need anybody else to live a rogue Christian life, is again prideful, and to deny that you're a creature, which denies that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things. And lastly, it means you need constant renewal. Your soul is also one of the created things. You need nourished from a source from without. You cannot self-nourish. You need the Word. You need the uncreated creator of all things, your soul and heart included, to nourish you with His Word. So you see, beloved, the teaching of Scripture that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things with the Father should move you to humility. You should ask yourself, are you living like your God in some area of your life? Are you denying your creatureliness in some area of your life? And if you are, you need to repent. You need to turn to the one and only God and confess your sin and confess yourself a creature of His. Beloved, the truth that Christ is the uncreated creator of all things should also move you to gratitude. To gratitude. Again, beloved, like we prayed, how often do you thank God for your very simple existence? We often thank Him for all of His works of providence, but not for mere existence. We don't thank Him that from all eternity He determined to give you breath and life. And that in time He actually brought you forth. That He made you. And beloved, if you owe your very existence to Him, then you owe everything to Him. And you should be thankful. Thankful for every good thing that He's given to you. And thankful for the fact that He even works all of the bad things for your good. So, beloved, the teaching of Scripture that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things with the Father should move you to humility, and it should move you to gratitude. And then lastly, this teaching of the Scriptures should move you to serve Him in all things. To not only be thankful to Him, but to serve Him in all things. Remember what we saw in the Colossians passage. It's not just that all things were made through the Son, but all things were made for the Son. All things were made in order to serve and glorify Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And if that's the case, and you're one of the all things, then you must strive to serve and glorify Him in all that you do. And behind that, foundationally to actually serving Him, is the more fundamental need to acknowledge Him as the Lord, the King, the Maker of all things. If you don't acknowledge Him as Lord and Master, you're not going to serve Him as Lord and Master. And beloved, if you desire to grow in acknowledging His Lordship over you, and I trust if you're in Christ that you do have that desire, then there are some very practical areas where you can begin, which will overflow into other areas of life and lead you to greater service in all of life. And the most practical places to start are with your time and with your money. Because you see, ultimately, the Sabbath and tithing are lordship principles. So if you want to grow in all of your life in acknowledging and serving Jesus Christ, then one area you could start is by off of your first fruits, or your first paycheck, whatever that looks like for you, the beginning of each month or whatever, tithe. Give Him 10% off top. Through the local church, you tithe to Jesus Christ. And that forces you then, for the rest of the month, to live and govern your finances off of the 90% that remains. And it's an acknowledgement of lordship, that He is King and Lord over even your money. And again, that subjection, that submission of your most basic area of finances overflows. And so, beloved, if you don't tithe, consider tithing. And it will grow you in acknowledging His lordship and service. And so will keeping the Sabbath day holy. Because again, if you set aside the world and your work one full day, then off top again, you only have 6 days to do everything else. And so it's a principle of lordship. You set aside the first day of week to Him. You do everything else on the other 6 days. And it's an acknowledgement that He's Lord over even your time, money and time, two of the most fundamental things. And He gives you the privilege and the opportunity to acknowledge His Lordship, promises a ridiculously abundant amount of blessings if you so do, and in such a way that these will overflow into subjection in other areas of life. So if you're struggling, beloved, subjecting yourself to the lordship of Christ in any area of life, and you're not, tithing and keeping the Sabbath day holy, those are the two places to start. And watch Him work, and watch Him bless you with a submissive servant heart. And then coupled with that, beloved, pray like crazy. Pray to start your day. Pray at every meal. Pray at every text. Pray at every opportunity. Pray to end your day, because prayer again instills a servant spirit. Because prayer of necessity acknowledges dependency. When you lift up prayers to God for your day or for whatever, you're acknowledging that you have not the power. Because if you had the power, you wouldn't pray. Why would you pray? You don't ask a genie in a bottle if you could do it. How much more do you not ask God if you could do it? He is the creator of all things. And so when you pray to him, you're acknowledging that you can't do it and that you need him. So prayer to the God of the universe grows the servant heart. And so, beloved, let this truth this morning that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things stir you to humility, to gratitude, and to service. And if any of you this morning have never acknowledged that Jesus Christ is the uncreated creator of all things with the Father, is fully God with the Father. And if you refuse this morning to accept that as true, again, that Jesus Christ, he's not a mere manifestation of the Father, God. He's distinctly and fully God. He's the uncreated creator of all things. If you refuse to acknowledge that truth today, then you're only delaying the inevitable, and that to your destruction. Because the scriptures teach clearly that there's a day coming when every knee will bow, when every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is who the Word says he is, that he's Lord, that he is the uncreated creator of all things. Everybody will acknowledge that, whether you do now or not. And if you're forced by his power to your knee, and those words are ripped out of your mouth unwillingly, then the next step for you will be cast into hell forever because you rejected his offer this morning. And you'll remember my words to you this morning because he'll bring them to mind. They will torment you in hell. Why? Why didn't I believe him as you're burning with an everlasting fire? You'll wonder why. Why didn't I heed that pastor's word when he told me to believe? When he told me that Jesus Christ was the uncreated creator of all things, why didn't I just believe him? If I would have believed him, I wouldn't be in hell without any escape. So believe. Accept it as true now. Not 5 seconds from now, now. Confess yourself a creature in need of a Savior, a sinner. And then come to him. Confess Jesus Christ as the Creator through whom all things were made and as the Savior through whom one may come to the Father. And then come. Receive his glorious offer. And come and drink of the water of life this day and be saved. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, how we thank you for sending forth the Word, your Lord, our Lord, rather, Jesus Christ, the uncreated Creator of all things. And Lord, we pray that we as a people would be moved to humility as we reflect upon who Christ is, who you are. Now, there's only two categories, God and creation, and we fall into the latter. That we'd remember these things in our day-to-day lives and live more humbly before you. That we would be a more thankful people. Not only thanking you for your multitudes of providence, but for mere existence. And Lord, that we would acknowledge you for who you are, and that in the most practical and fundamental of ways. And Lord, if there's any in this room this morning who've been presented with the truth of your word and have rejected it up to this point in their lives, that they would reject it and refuse it no longer, but that they would come to the word, that they would hear the word and come, that they would be saved this day in glory in the truth that Jesus Christ is not only the uncreated creator of all things, but the one name under heaven and earth given unto men by which all may be saved. Lord, bless our souls, we pray in Christ's name.